The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Well, time's just gone, 18 minutes past five, and it's that time for a report from Israel. Joining us on the line, our spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation, Rolien Marks. Rolien, good afternoon to you. Thanks always for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive.
Always good to be here.
And it's interesting how things transpire when we want to organize what we're going to discuss earlier on the day develops, and all of a sudden there's some breaking news coming in from the north of the border. Tell us more.
There has been, over the last couple of days, a significant amount in the increase of rocket fire coming from Hezbollah, also an Iranian proxy. We had several barrages yesterday. We've just had quite a significant barrage. About 40 rockets fell in open areas. And we've seen this steadily increase. The IDF, in response, have struck targets deep into Lebanese territory. In fact, the IDF have confirmed striking targets as far as Zbud, which is in the Baalbek district, which is more than 110 kilometers from Israel's border. Now, this is in response to missile fire towards a air traffic control base in Meron. So we are seeing really an escalation in the north, really starting to heat up. You know, the question is, what is the United Nations doing about enforcing Resolution 1701, which clearly states — this came about after the Second Lebanon War in 2006, and clearly states that Hezbollah has to stay north of the Litani River. They are not north of the Litani River. They are operating on our borders with little or no mediation or control from the UNIFIL troops that are stationed there. That's United Nations Interim Forces in Lebanon. Iran has reportedly told Hezbollah not to seek a widespread war. Israel, from our part, has said, don't test us. The noses of our fighter jets are facing north, and we are prepared for any eventuality.
Seems they are somewhat emboldened by the recent UN resolution passed yesterday, Rolien. They have been duly warned, as you've put it quite clearly, but let's focus on this resolution passed yesterday and the failure of the hostage talks.
Let's talk about the resolution, because this has had significant fallout. And while we are speaking, I've just received a readout coming hot off the wires. So you guys are getting it hot off the wires. But Ismail Haniyeh, who is in Tehran at the moment, he is the political chief of Hamas. And he says, a day after the UN Security Council called for a ceasefire in the Gaza war and the immediate unconditional release of all hostages, he says, although this resolution came late, there may be some gaps that need to be filled. The resolution itself indicates that the Israeli occupation is experiencing unprecedented political isolation. Now, this echoes something that Prime Minister Netanyahu said, and we're going to unpack why he said it. Mm-hmm. Prime Minister Netanyahu stated earlier today that by passing this resolution while making a ceasefire not absolutely contingent on the release of the hostages has basically said that it's given a green light to Hamas that international pressure for a ceasefire will work. So I'm going to read you what the Prime Minister said earlier today. He said that Hamas's stance clearly demonstrates its utter disinterest in negotiating a deal and attests to the damage done by the UN Security Council's resolution. Okay, that's the wrong readout. Let me get you the right readout. I've got so many readouts, people. Let's go for, yeah. So basically that was the right one. He says that Hamas has rejected the hostage deal, mm-hmm. They said, you know, that they have rebutted. He says that Hamas once again rejected an American compromise proposal and has repeated its extreme demands: an immediate halt to the war, the complete withdrawal of the IDF from the Gaza Strip, and leaving in its place an administration that can repeat time and again the massacre of October the 7th, as has promised to do. Hamas rebuffed all U.S. offers for compromise while celebrating the Security Council's resolution. Israel will not address Hamas's delusional demise. That comes right after the Prime Minister said that, you know, what happens basically right now with this resolution that has been passed is it gives Hamas a green light to demand international pressure for a ceasefire without releasing our hostages. And, you know, if you're looking at this analytically, Hamas essentially does hold all the cards because they hold the hostages. And all that we want is Israel is the return of our hostages. Then we can have a negotiation as far as ceasefires are concerned. But yesterday's resolution gives a tailwind to Hamas.
Rolene, how would you look at the U.S. Abstention? How do you interpret that? What do you think? What's at play there?
So let's unpack this. We had a situation yesterday where the United Nations Security Council voted in favor of an immediate ceasefire. Now, the resolution does call for the immediate and unconditional release of the hostages, but it does not make the ceasefire conditional on the immediate release of the hostages. Now, prior to the vote, Prime Minister Netanyahu said that if the U.S. does not veto it, we will cancel the proposed visit to the U.S. by our security advisors, Tzachi Hanegbi, Ron Dermer, and members of COGAT. Now, if you recall, they were scheduled to go to Washington to discuss alternate ways that Israel should be dealing with the Romanian Hamas battalions that are operational in Rafah. The U.S. have stated and reiterated again yesterday that they do not support a wide-scale invasion of Rafah. They say many civilians have fled to Rafah and there is nowhere else for them to go. Cut back to the U.N. Security Council and the United States departing from its normal policy at the U.N. Security Council, which is to veto resolutions, abstain. Now, the UN envoy to the United Nations, Linda Greenfield-Thomas, says that the reason for the abstention is because the resolution does not condemn Hamas. Security Council has yet to condemn the atrocities of the 7th of October. But for Israel, our real concern, of course, is our hostages. So the Prime Minister made good on his threat. Washington has responded by expressing their disappointment in that and kind of intimating that maybe the Prime Minister is manufacturing a crisis with the United States. They don't give a reason why they think that this should be, but this is what is happening. So the opinion in Israel is that maybe the United States right now isn't the ally that we think it is, that this is extremely, extremely concerning for us at the Security Council, and that it does give a tailwind. It does bolster Hamas's demand. And now we've just had the statement from Ismail Haniyeh that says, you know, now Israel is facing increased political isolation. I wouldn't say Israel is politically isolated. I wouldn't say that. What I would say, though, is that we have seen an increase in the amount of criticism towards Israel for the military operation in Gaza, which I think any sovereign country would undertake.
Yeah, Roland, one wonders what story we're going to be telling tomorrow, because this seems to, it's going to, I believe it's just going to escalate in a very, to put it mildly, unique way. But I look forward to having this chat with you tomorrow to see where this very subject stands at that point in time. We don't have much more time left. So let's just look at an article that we wanted to unpack, article we read earlier on. The goal was a massacre on Tel Aviv, Hamas's full plan for October the 7th revealed. Wow.
It's absolutely, it's beyond comprehension, but we know that Hamas came in to Israel, their invasion. I think it is beyond a terror attack. It is a full-scale invasion. And essentially, were prevented from moving forward because they encountered the Nova Festival, and we consider those that were murdered at the Nova Festival like holy souls, not just because they died in the sanctification of God's name, but it almost bought time to get a response to what was happening in the south and prevented Hamas from pushing further. They've stated that their goal was to push further into Israel, all the way to Tel Aviv and all the way to Dimona, where Israel's rumored a nuclear plant is. So we cannot confirm nor deny that there might be something in Dimona. But these were the intentions of Hamas, widespread genocide and a massacre, and it's documented in Hamas's own words, in physical proof. And I think there are a few foreign ministers, I'm sure we all know who I'm talking about, who maybe should receive a copy of those plans before making allegations of genocide against Israel.
Roland, we have to wrap it up. I wish we could have continued unpacking a few more issues. Perhaps we can do that tomorrow. Let's keep everybody bated with breath and waiting for our report tomorrow. But Roland, thanks once again for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive to bring us the latest as to what transpired in Israel today. Spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation, Roland Marks, joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive with the Israel Report.